now in our 11th year of doing this, have never...
Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Never changed our rudder on Tuesday. Never. Because we already had our John Elway. That is Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
It's great to be here as always. I can assure you that I am not being traded for five picks and three other radio show guests to the Denver market. That's just something that's not going to happen. And for real, I know that Seattle said they weren't going to do it, but for real, that definitely will not happen for me.
And again, your loyalty is appreciated. Plus, there are not five people in Denver we want. All right, so
exactly.
That's what it comes down to. You're way better than five people they could send us.
The market issue. That's
yeah, it always is. You know, just because a big market name doesn't mean it's any good. All right, so. So, I mean, you know, when you sit back and you, you know, Rodgers does, I think, what most of us expected him to do, stayed. Wilson gets moved. What are the other dominoes that you're looking at as to how this can play out?
It's hard to tell because dominoes is exactly the best way to put it. It's not a coincidence that within 90 minutes of Aaron Rodgers' deal, you have the trade of the year, perhaps the trade of the decade. Obviously, considering the size of the deal of Seattle sending Russell Wilson to Denver for the amount of capital that went into that trade, it's obviously something they had worked out well in advance. Both sides were prepared to make that deal. They just had to dot a few I's, cross a few T's, and execute it, or at least it'll be executed when the league year starts. But those are the two biggest pieces. And if you look at it from a Steelers vantage point, which is not one that I have shared, but it's one that fans want to continue talking about, the market for veteran quarterbacks just kind of died. I mean, at the same time, most would probably argue they weren't going to want to get into that market. There are reports that the Steelers were a team, at the very least, doing due diligence on Aaron Rodgers, getting a sense of what could be negotiated there. We won't know what Pittsburgh had offered in terms of contract or trade compensation back to Green Bay in such a deal. But looking at the size of the deal that Green Bay gave him, it probably would have needed to be substantially larger than their previous biggest contract that they've given in history. So those pieces are out. It does kind of indicate maybe Pittsburgh was interested in the superstar level, older, expensive quarterback that's going to cost them, you know, probably a total of one draft over the next 3 years. But at the same time, I think they built themselves to be in a position to make a move like that should a move present itself. And, you know, to the degree that it did, we won't know. It obviously wasn't executed, but they had the ability, the means, the motive, and the opportunity to go look and see if there was a deal like that available. They have the cap space in order to do most deals. They could probably have fit quite a bit in their, you know, superstar level QB. That's in question here. I'm not sure whoever is left could really fit that bill anymore. Dollars wise, it's, you know, not hard to find a quarterback who gets paid a lot of money, but it's the ability, the talent, the longevity, that just isn't there anymore. And I think this, it goes back to last year when they signed Rudolph to a 1 year extension, gave him cash last season. I think for the most part, it was to hedge against the idea that if they're going to go into the quarterback market looking for a starting level quarterback, it's not going to be Mitch Trubisky. They would want an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson. And I think they were open to that. I mean, I think it would make sense for them to explore it and see what might be available for them in that regard. But if that isn't available and it doesn't seem any more like it is, I think they're just going to go with Rudolph as their starter. And I think the plan was to draft one anyway. So their plans are right in line. This is really what they want to do. And the market may have played out a little bit differently than what some people might have thought. But I do think the Steelers had some interest in it, even if it wasn't something that was going to realistically materialize.
They get to the second round. Say in the first round they pick a guy that, whether it's a lineman, whatever it may be, it's not a quarterback. And Desmond Ridder of Cincinnati is still sitting there in the second round. Do you think that's a realistic consideration?
If I'm the Steelers and Ridder is on the board when they draft in the second round, I'm running to the podium. I'm
yeah,
not walking. That would be a fantastic situation. We see quarterbacks jump in value. Well, our perception is they jump in value. They get mocked, you know, way lower than where they end up getting drafted all the time. We're used to that. Ridder, to me, is a guy that I feel like he has the skill set that you would want in a starter. I think there are some mechanical issues that you're really worried about considering the amount of experience that he has. I don't know if he's going to have the time and the opportunity to work enough with his feet and his upper body. Those aren't locked in when he throws. You can see it as clear as day. I don't know if he has the time and the growth curve anymore, being that the age that he is,
right,
to work those things away, to sand those things off, because he's not going to be a starter in year one. So you look at it like that, you really kind of have to be a starter in year two. Otherwise, he's just simply not going to get the reps. There obviously practice reps on your own. That's stuff you want to put into it. But, you know, when it counts is in practice. That's when they're really evaluating you, and you have to be able to step up and do it at a level close to perfection if you want to move up. Now, in an opportunity like the Steelers in the second round, I can see that being beneficial for him because, yes, he will absolutely sit. But as of now, in this hypothetical scenario, Ridder would be the only guy they have signed for next year. So,
right,
you know, inside track, he's going to be realistically somebody they're looking for to start in his second year. I like the opportunity that they have. I don't like saying this quarterback is worth the 20th pick, but he's not worth the 18th pick. That's really too specific, and it's too dependent on who's drafting and who needs what. The 20th pick is not a premium pick.
Right.
I mean, it is, but not in comparison to the 10th pick, for example. Ridder doesn't belong in that top bucket, but right, I could see the Steelers being at 20. If I'm not at all suggesting this is what they're thinking, because I don't know, but if they are interested in Desmond Ridder, realistically, 20 is the spot they're going to have to take him unless they can find a way to trade down. And I'm not sure this is really a great trade down kind of draft. You need the real high end quarterback to be available there. I don't think that's quite Ridder. I think a team would really like to get Ridder at 29, 30, somewhere in there, where you can get that 5th-year option to lock him in for a 5th year, keeping him away from free agency at relatively kind of a low price, and not have to risk waiting into the second round for him where you might have to trade up for him. So if the Steelers saw that opportunity, they would, you know, break anything in their path to announce that selection. I think it'd be great for him as well if they could get away with taking whoever in round one and then getting Ridder in round two. That would be a great start to their draft.
All right. So now we get to the free agency part of this, which to me is always the tip off as to how a team's going to draft. I mean, to me, that always is. I mean, it's the positions you sign in free agency that tell me what positions, okay, that you're going to go in a different direction of the draft compared to what you sign. So what positions do you think they need to get in the free agency part to then set up the draft?
It's the way that I think is right. You want to set up your draft. And really, when you look at free agency, a lot of it depends on where you are in terms of your roster construct. What do you want to do for this year and for the next year or two? And how much flexibility do you have dollars-wise? The Steelers are sitting on basically a cap reducer in TJ Watt's already guaranteed $24 million base salary. They put that into the contract, I think, one, to help lower his year one salary cap charge, but two, to keep it in place in case they want to free up some more space for the 2022 season, which is where they are now. They can, you know, basically reduce that to, I can't do the calculus off the top of my head, but they could clear up $20 million in the cap just with a move with Watt alone.
Right.
So if they want to go out and spend, they absolutely can. Now that pushes up the cap numbers in subsequent years for Watt, and maybe they don't really want to do that. It's a good way to keep it down because maybe it's an option for next year that you want to explore. I don't know. But the point is, they are able to be competitive at the very top of the free agency market this year. And I don't know if we've ever said that about where they are in terms of the cap heading into the start of free agency. For me, I feel based on what they've already tried to build, and let's keep in mind, I think everybody would agree, Kendrick Green was probably not the best center in the NFL last season. I think everybody understands that. Everybody
I just saw him Thursday night.
He was at the
Penn State Illinois game out in Champaign, and I looked over and thought, not the best pick they made. Well, with all due respect,
Kendrick. Hasn't worked out well. The interesting thing is, he came a little bit more highly touted than Dan Moore did.
Yeah.
And Dan Moore wasn't supposed to play at all. And these guys were only 40 picks between them drafted, I think. Something like that.
Right.
Moore wasn't supposed to play at all. And if anything, I think, you know, all things considered, I think Moore was the better of the two. So I think you've got something to work with at left tackle. I think you have options at right tackle up to and including the draft. If not, trying to see if you can't get Chukwuma Okorafor on an extension. Now that's a guy he's probably going to cost you an APY of about $9 million. Somewhere that's just the going rate of a younger starting offensive tackle in the NFL. He's not a journeyman. He's not 31 years old. You're gonna have to pay a little bit to keep him around. But I don't know if that's a terrible move. I don't think it's that bad at the tackle position considering where they were. Now, does Okorafor want to play right tackle? I don't know. I have no idea. I think he wants to get paid like a left tackle, which, either way you look at it, so many guys have done that. If you want me to play right tackle, pay me like a left tackle, and I'll sign with you. They've done that enough to the point where the top 10-ish in terms of salary at each position, the highest end is bigger at left tackle, but that mid-level and lower level is about the same. So it's going to cost you $9 million, maybe $10 million. To get Okorafor on a long-term deal. So if you're letting him go, you probably need to sign a starting right tackle. On top of that, I would say that you can't bank on it necessarily, except for the fact the Steelers haven't drafted an offensive tackle in round one since, I think, 1996. So it seems like a pretty decent bet. They're not looking to draft a tackle in the first round. If they want to go second round for a tackle, all right, well, you went with the rookie tackle thing last year. I'm not sure that worked out all that great. In a one season vacuum, you might want to look veteran at that spot. More than anything, though, just because the Steelers really seem to value the interior offensive lineman, I think they're going to start a right guard or look to sign a starting right guard in free agency. For what they do, I think that makes the most sense. And I think at the same time, if we can agree, Kendrick Green was probably the weak link on that offensive line last year. Well, he had a first-year starter to his left, and he had a veteran free agent signed in July to his right. Trey Turner is not going to be back, so there's another new starter who's coming in there. That's not the easiest thing in the world for a center to take on. Now, granted, he's getting paid. The expectation is there for him to be able to do the job, but if it were me, I'm really looking for a veteran right guard just to make my right tackle, who might have to be new as well, or he might even have to be a rookie as well. I'm going to make the right guard the veteran figurehead on this line. This is the guy I'm going to invest money in. The Steelers think like that. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the type of move they make. And Brandon Scherff, I think, looks pretty good for what they're doing. And they have the money to sign him. So, to be honest, if it's me, that's what I'm going to do in free agency. And then, as usual, the Steelers will add maybe a starting-level defensive back at some point in the offseason. They usually do that. They kind of pick through what they seem to feel is a pretty deep pool of mildly experienced, lower-priced, interchangeable cornerbacks. Every year they pick up a guy like that. I don't think they're going to re-sign Akilah Witherspoon just because they sign an Akilah Witherspoon every year.
Right.
They seem to like that tradition. I don't know why they're going to spend more on him now. But we'll see how it all shakes out. But you absolutely need to fill depth. They can get, you know, I'm not sure what Tyson Alualu's situation is. I do see a 35-year-old guy who missed almost all of last season with a pretty significant injury. Is he guaranteed to come back? I don't know why that would be the case necessarily. Maybe he is, but you might want to get some depth along your defensive line. Chris Wormley's in a contract year. You've no idea what's going to happen with Stephon Tuitt, so there's no point in even trying to count on him to play 17 games. You need to get somebody there as well. I would address those things and try to put yourself in a little bit more of an actionable position in the draft this season, which they were not last year at all. They had to draft. What do they end up with, like 5 starters, 6 if you count the punter?
Right.
That's tough to do. It's tough to win with that many rookies who have to contribute for your team. They're going to want to add veteran depth this year and give them a little bit more of an opportunity to bring rookies along, not just for 2022, but 23, 24, and beyond.
Yeah, my advice is don't look to the Giants or the Jets. All right, so there we go. Neil, my friend, thank you so much. You are our Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely. My hair is a lot shorter. You guys are happy to know that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and really, great information there. Thanks. Neil, thank you.